My question was in Sikshashtakam prayers, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitamba, Jagadish, Kamaya. So a devotee who is practicing will not go after any jana, will not go after disciples or anything. So how we can approach a bona fide guru means, guru is like, my question was, like Narottam Das Thakur has to go so much after Loknath Maharaj, Loknath Goswami. And similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has to go so much after Gaurakishore Das Babaji. So my question was, a genuine Vaishnava will not be after disciples.
It's not a question, you're just making a statement.
A disciple, what is the thing that makes Guru to accept a disciple? That is what is the question. Means Guru is not interested in accepting any disciples. So what disciples should do so that a Guru will...
The question is a little... You have some confusion in your mind, it seems to me. First of all, let's try to understand what we're talking about here. Whether one particular devotee is serving in the capacity of, whether he's functioning or acting or serving the Lord as a Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru, or whether he's doing Nirjan Bhajan and just taking care of his own liberation and trying to perfect his own bhakti, living alone or just with his wife, his wife and family, and he's trying to become spiritually perfect, and the wife is trying to become spiritually perfect, and they try to help their children. So in one sense, he or she, the husband or wife, are like a guru. We mentioned that in the fifth canto, Guru Nishishyat, Pitaro Nishishyat, that one should be, if one wants to be a superior position like father, mother, teacher, guru, then he should be interested in and try to help his dependents become liberated from the cycle of birth and death. But you were mentioning in your delivery that if a bhakta is genuine, then he won't be interested in disciples. And so the implication, what you say, is that if some devotee has disciples, and he is interested in helping people, and he is interested in giving diksha to a qualified person, you're intimating that such a guru, who's actually very compassionate and kind-hearted and helpful, that he's not a genuine bhakta. So I don't think you were thinking very clearly in what you were saying, because that's completely wrong.
My question was like, what disciple has to do to make sure...
Your question is that first of all, if you want to take diksha from some devotee, that devotee should be someone who's giving diksha. Right? I know many great devotees that write books, that translate books, give fantastic lectures. They don't give diksha.
Yeah.
And many people come to them and they say, you know, I pray for you. And they eventually they go and they find their guru. Krishna arranges. So first of all, if you're going to take diksha, just like if you're going to want to study medicine, then you should look for a medical school. If you go to a gas station and say, you know, I want to study medicine, they say, we don't, that's not going on here. We don't give degrees in medicine here. We give degrees in grease and dirt. If you work in the gas station, you'll become full of grease and dirt. So you have to go, if you're looking for a mango, you have to go to a tree with mangoes. That's why in the level of teachers in spiritual, like someone might say, oh, I heard you're very learned. Are you a teacher in a school? No, I'm a tutor. I do tutoring. I help students that are in school and I charge fees, 50 rupees for 1 hour for a group class of 10. Or if you want me one for 1 hour of me alone, then it's 250 rupees. It's called tutor, you know, tuitions, you call it tuitions. So maybe he never even went to school. Maybe he did, but he really knows the subject. And he's become famous among the student class. So he's very smart, and he knows this chemistry very well. Oh, and someone will say, oh, does he have a degree as a teacher? No, but he knows, you see, he'll help you. So, okay. So So he's acting like a teacher, but he's not really an official teacher. And he's not saying he is. He says, I'm a tutor. I'm not. I don't have a degree myself. But I went to school, but I didn't finish and get a degree. And I happen to know this subject very well for somehow or other. It can be there. And that person gets famous, just like we have something called honorary degree. Sometimes universities give some great writer, some great poet, they give him an honorary degree because even without going to school, at least in this life, he writes some masterpiece of literature, writes some amazing books or whatever. So some college wants to recognize him and give him a degree to honor his vast knowledge and achievement that he's acquired and that he's accomplished without even going to college. It's called honorary degree. So if you want diksha, you have to go to someone who's giving diksha. And then how do you qualify for diksha? You ask the diksha guru. And they'll tell you, okay, you stay here, you live in Radhakund, you come to my darshans, you come, and we'll see. As I know, that's how most, like here, for example, there's one famous Acharya, Gaudiya Acharya, the Radhakund Mahant, Sripad Srila Nantadas Babaji Maharaj. And many people, they go meet him, they say, I would like to become your disciple. He says, all right. Why don't you come? You come to Kartik. You listen to the classes because they're in Bengali, but they have translation, you know, with the earplug. They have earplug, then you have a telephone with radio. You can download from internet radio program, or maybe you have radio. FM. So then why the lecture is going on Bengali is being translated in Hindi and Russian and English. So you sit there, put the earplug in, and tune on that station, and you can hear English. Or Hindi. Or if you know Bengali, you just listen. So that way, he'll say, you come to lectures, and he'll say, okay, you come for some time. You hear the lectures, and you have you read my books? Oh, I haven't read my books. Oh, you go to my bookstore, you read some of my books, and you come and meet again, and we can consider. It's like this. It's like, do you sit next to a girl on the bus and get married the next day? No, I mean, you have to develop some relationship. I mean, who are you? And show your face around the guru. You know, every evening he has a darshan. Generally, he often would say, okay, why don't you come and live in Radhakund and you associate here with me? And he wants, he just tells, practically, at least he used to, I can't say now, I can't really speak on his behalf. But he used to encourage Westerners and other people, oh, come and live at Radhakund, you stay here, and you associate with my devotees, and you associate with me, and read the books, and you do your bhakti, then, and we'll see how it goes. Or it depends. Like one case, I went with someone that I knew that was practicing bhakti a long time. And so because I know this particular guru, I gave recommendation of the qualification. I kind of passed him. It's like I go to the college and go to the admissions officer and say, he's smart, let him in the college. Okay. Because he knows me, the admissions officer. So because of that relationship we have, then he said, all right. And the person was initiated within a few days. And then they wanted to get Siddha Pranali. They said, oh, I want to get Siddha Pranali. Because they heard so many things about this and Manjaris. So then now they were initiated, so they went on their own. And the guru said, you wait for some time. It's been a year already waiting. So this is up to the guru what he wants to do. So you're asking so many questions about guru, and you're living in Vrindavan, and trying to practice bhakti, and you want to find guru, then surely you'll find guru. Especially in Vrindavan. There's gurus in Barsana, there's gurus in Govardhan, there's gurus everywhere. So many sampradayas. So many Gaudiya gurus, so many Advaitin gurus, so many Ramanandi gurus, so many Nimbarki gurus, so many Balavacharya gurus, Goswami gurus, Babaji gurus, Sannyasi gurus, Brahmachari gurus, Grihastha gurus, Western Grihastha gurus, Western Sannyasi gurus, all kinds. I know one Grihastha guru. He's a big guru. He has disciples all around the world. He's a Western person. Speaks Hindi, Bengali, Sanskrit, English. So such personalities that are available. So you have to... Sometimes it's one of the aspects of bhakti that we're told in Upadeshamrita by Rupa Goswami, Utsaha Nischayat Dharyat Dainya. Dainya, Dharya means patience. We need patience to begin, we need patience to practice, and we need patience to attain perfection. Rome wasn't built in a day. When I was first looking for a spiritual teacher, I had some idea about what they call guru. In America in the 60s and 70s, these ideas of mantra and guru and meditation and yoga, they became quite popular there in America and Europe, 1960s and early 70s. So I was searching from the time I'm about 14, which is long ago, 1965. I was reading many books on philosophy and meditation, yoga, theosophy, Rosicrucians, theosophy, all kinds of. Madame Blavatsky is a Russian lady who started this theosophy. It's called Theosophy, Theosophical Foundation or so. And then Yogananda, he had an ashram in California, and two of them actually. I didn't meet him, he was dead by the time I went to his mission, but I met his sannyasi followers, Indians. And I met several, half a dozen or so, maybe even 10 sannyasis from India, representing different ideas of spiritual life and practice. And I read their books. And then finally I read the books of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And it came on this side by Krishna's mercy. So my search started in 1965 at the age of 14. And when I was 24, I received initiation. So for 10 years, I was... Of course, in that 10-year period, I went to high school, I went to college, I graduated from college. Many things went on the material body level. But on the paramarthic level, of my search for God, as they say, that was going on. Like a stove has four burners. So one burner college, one burner spirit, one burner body, one burner college, one burner, one chula. For the spiritual life. So I kept reading, kept my yoga, kept my meditation. Whatever I learned and picked up along the way, I became a vegetarian when I was 18, and pure vegetarian. I saw the Hare Krishnas when I was 14, right in the very beginning of my search for a guru and spiritual life. I had already read many, many books, and my brother was living in New York, about 5 minutes away from the ISKCON temple in New York City. So I went to visit him, and the devotees were on the street chanting Harinam Sankirtan. And I saw them. I said, who are they? And my brother said, they're Hare Krishna people. They follow this Hinduism and Gita, and they chant this mantra, Hare Krishna. They say it's the name, Krishna's name for God. And if they chant this mantra, you'll realize God. I said, so are they, they're all on drugs, or all they're crazy, or why they shave their heads? My brother, he was like a hippie type. He said, no, they're good people. They just like to look like the Buddhists, you know. My brother told me. So they like, because we knew Buddhists. They like to be look like Buddhists, but they're very happy, nice people. And then my brother told me, he said, I met their guru, A.C. Bhaktivedanta. My brother, in 1966, he sat with Prabhupada for 45 minutes in a discussion. My brother and Prabhupada and no one else. Prabhupada was walking in a park. I don't know what park, maybe Thompson Square, I can't say, I forget. My brother told me that, and I'm sure it's true. And he said that A.C. Bhaktivedanta, he asked me to join him. And I said, and my brother said, I tried chanting Hare Krishna for a time in my life, but it didn't last long. So that was when I was 14. Then I was 23, I called him, and he was in New York and I was in California. And I said, I'm visiting the Hare Krishna temple, and now I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I like it. He said, oh yeah, I remember, I was in that long ago. 10 years ago, I told you about that. You won't stay long with that. You won't stick with it. You'll get out of that and you'll find your way some other way. It won't last long. Anyway, good luck. I wish you the best. So now, now it's been a little way, so back there. And my brother actually came here to Radhakund, and he chanted Hare Krishna with me. Radhe, Radhe.